Let's all not right now stand to read the Word of God. And for those of us in English church, you all, they know, all right, for the other congregation, you may not be familiar, but I always raise up my Bible, okay? So if you have a Bible with you, you raise it up. If you have a soft copy Bible, that means your smartphone Bible, still a Bible, okay? Your iPad Bible, still a Bible. So you lift it up over, you know, your head, because this is so important to say that this is the authority of the Word of God. And so the English church already know how to recite this. So are you ready for the English church members? This is my Bible. All right, ready? One, two, go. It informs my mind and instructs my behavior. So help me, God. Now we're going to read from the screen aloud together. All right, and then we not only read, we proclaim. Proclaim means that people in hall one can hear you. All right, that's how loud it is, okay? All right, ready? Let's read aloud together. One, two, go. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Please be seated. We are now entering the new year. So happy new year to you. And I do not know, you know, as you enter the new year, what's in your mind? Are you excited about the new year? Yeah, not so excited. I pray that by the end of this sermon, you will get excited. Because it's amazing that as we look at the theme of stepping in, you will see that the banner is already up to step in, making the most of every opportunity. That's our theme for this coming year. Those of you, all right, if you have been with a UMC in the last 3 years, you will realize that when I first became the senior pastor of the church in 2016, all right, I came up with this theme called Step Up, because I was stepping up. I never thought I would be the senior pastor of the UMC. But, you know, God gave me the assignment, and I knew I had to step up. So I was challenging the whole church here. I remember, you know, it was the same combined celebration we had. I challenged everyone, step up. And I see many of you have stepped up in different ways in your life. It's amazing when we just trust God as we step up to do the things you've never done before. And so, that's amazing. And I want to affirm you in that. And then in the following year, 2017, it means last year, I encourage you to step out. Meaning that as we step up, it's never just for ourselves, not never just for the UMC. To step up means that we want to step out. And I see many, many that have done that. Chinese church, for example, I know you have been going out to the community. You have been giving, you know, distributing, I call it goodwill food to people. All right, and people expect you now, every year to come, right? And so because you have made your presence known. And different cell groups, I know, that you have been going out to serve the people, to serve the poor community. And so you are, many of our people are stepping out. And this year, I'm challenging everyone now to say, as we step out into the lives of people, let's now step into the community. Let's step into the lives of people. Bring the church out of the four walls of the church into the lives of people. And so that is the main thing I'm trying to say for this year, 2018. Let's step into the lives of people. And then the next year, as we step up, step out, step in, next year will be to step forward. Now, don't ask me what that is yet, because I've not heard from the Lord yet. All I know, God is saying to me, you need to step forward as you step in. But I think next year it will be even more exciting. And so let's, you know, look at what God is saying to us, especially from the book of Ephesians. We read earlier on, chapter 5, verse 15 to 20. What is God saying to us? So church, this is what I want you to do. In all congregation, there are three things I want you to remember this year. Everybody say three things. Right? Three things I want you to remember this year. The first thing from the book of Ephesians, this is what it says. The first thing is, be very careful. Everyone say, be very careful. Turn to your neighbor and say, be very careful. Use your finger and say, be very careful. Okay? Now, What is Apostle Paul saying be very careful about? So when you read the Bible in verse 15, you must read the previous verses. So if you read the previous verses, you recognize the context. He's saying, why be very careful? So to sum it up, the few verses before that, basically Apostle Paul is saying, be very careful that you are not caught sleeping spiritually. You're not caught napping. So be very careful. All right, you don't be caught napping and sleeping. Don't be caught living in darkness rather than living as children of light. So that's the context of be very careful. Now, how many of us here, our parents have been telling us, when you go out, especially, be very careful, Hey, be very careful, you know. All right, especially when we're younger, right? Be very careful, don't talk to strangers, Right. Be very careful, don't simply eat the food people give you, you know. How many of us parents do that? Of course we do that. Why do parents do that? Although as children we say, we know, right? But why do parents do that? In fact, as you grow older, parents still doing that, you know. Be very careful, when we went overseas, be very careful, make sure you wear the thick clothing, especially go to winter countries, Right? Now, why do parents do that? Parents do that because they love you. Because they are concerned for you. That is why they say, be very careful. And so in that sense, Apostle Paul is saying to his spiritual children, be very careful. It is said out of love. And so if we understand this, the call to be very careful, it simply means this. Apostle Paul realizes that if I'm asking you to be very careful, it means that most of the time we are very careless. We're very careless people. And I think some of you will recognize what I'm saying. Sometimes we are careless in the things we do. Sometimes we are careless in the things we say. And sometimes it's the things we do, we are careless by not paying attention to the consequences of what we are doing today. We are very careless because we don't recognize that what we do today has an effect on the future. We are careless about not knowing what is our vision for the future. You know, we don't understand what we do today influences the lives of young people for the future. Even God is saying to the church, be very careful, because what you do today will determine what will happen in the future for the young people. And God is saying also, you know, to different ones, be very careful, because what you do has an effect on people for the future. So the phrase, be very careful, is not a new phrase. Be very careful is found also in the Old Testament. And so the two passages, I remember, Joshua 22, verse 5. Why don't we read aloud together this verse here? Ready? One, two, go. But be very careful to keep the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to Him, to keep His commands, to hold fast to Him, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. So even in the Old Testament, you know, through Joshua, Joshua is the leader that succeeded Moses. And it was, in fact, Joshua himself said, all right, be very careful to love God. See, that is what the scripture is trying to tell us. Be very careful in loving God. Meaning this, we can be careless about loving God. Some of us may have been careless in the way we love God. Because we don't recognize that the way we love God today has an influence over our lives, the way we love God, and the way we love God has an influence over our families, our church, our cell groups. All this has its effect. So be very careful. In fact, another verse in the book of Joshua says this, the Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. You see, God has, in the history of the Old Testament, in the Jewish people, has driven out armies bigger than them. So they have seen the victory of God. So God has driven out before you great and powerful nation. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. Not so much Israel, you. God, you know, people, nations have not been able to withstand God, who is in Israel, of Israel. And one of you routes 1,000, And because the Lord your God fights for you just as he promised. So what does he say? Be what? Very careful to love the Lord your God. So be very careful. Now, were the people under Joshua careful about the way they loved their God? By the time we come to the book of Judges, we realize that they were not careful. Because by the time the next generation after Joshua, the book of Judges, the whole theme is about everyone doing what is right in their own eyes. They have fallen away from God. Although at the time of Joshua, the warning was given, be very careful about loving God. But yet one generation down, look what happened. They were careless in loving God. So if there's one thing I want you to remember this year, in fact, not just this year, for the rest of your life, be very careful about loving God. You see, these two passages here, there are many more passages, but these two is a reminder to the nation of Israel that the whole idea of a faith in God is a love relationship and obedience to his commandments. See, love and obedience comes hand in hand. You cannot say, I love God, but yet don't obey what God is saying. If you say you love God, you must obey the word of God. And these two comes together. For example, in John 14, verse 15, all right, it says, if you love me, this is what Jesus is saying, if you love me, you will obey what I command. So you say you love Jesus, right? So are you obeying his command? Are you obeying what he is saying? In fact, if you remember in the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, in that Great Commission, Jesus said, will you teach and disciple people to obey everything, not some things, you know, not one or two things. Will you teach the disciples to obey everything I have commanded you? Meaning that teach the disciples, teach your church members, teach your cell members, teach the disciples under you everything I've commanded you. So everything Jesus said, we do. If you say you love Jesus, you must obey the commands of God. See, some of us want to love Jesus, but we say we're not prepared to obey the commands of God. We want to live our own life. And we are careless in this area. And that is why we get ourselves over and over again into trouble. So what must we watch out for and being very careful? There are three things we must watch out for. One, the first thing that we must watch out for is that of our heart. Everybody say heart. Tap your heart and say heart. This heart is very important, right? You know? All right, this heart. Not this physical heart, although you can have a heart attack if you're not careful. All right? But this heart here, the heart of who you are is very important. You know, I found out that because people are careless, Christians are careless, because they did not protect their heart, Christians sometimes are too wounded to serve. So wounded in their lives. They lack the inner resolve in their heart to go to the cross, to say that, Jesus, I want to leave this at the foot of Jesus. Just now during the Holy Communion, for example, did we come to the cross? Did we leave, as we partake of the communion, did we leave our wounds of the heart at the cross? Or some of us may still walk out of this door carrying the wounds of our heart. Do you know what happened? We have wounds in your heart. When you have wounds in your heart, you are very easily offended by people. Everything people do offends you. As you drive, people cut you, also got offended already. As you walk, people cut in front of you, you're offended. What people say offends you. What people don't say also offend you. Everything offends you, right? And that is always a result of a wounded heart. So be very careful to guard this heart. Don't let this heart be wounded. And the way to be careful with this heart and not allowing it to be wounded is this whole thing called forgiveness. And Jesus has already taught us, how often must you forgive? 70 times 7. And so in that sense, be very careful with our hearts. Everybody says again, careful with my heart. So important, all right? Watch this heart here. So be very careful with our relationship with people. Only people can hurt our hearts, by the way. Things cannot hurt our heart, right? Even if your car breaks down, all right, the car cannot hurt you. It is a manufacturer that hurts your heart. All right, not the car. The car cannot hurt you. All right. So it's people who hurts our heart. So be very careful in the way you deal with people. Because especially in the Christian church, do you know that some of the greatest hurt doesn't come from outside? Some of the greatest hurt comes from within the body of Christ. We hurt one another all the time. And that is why the Bible says, forgive one another. That is to be careful of our hearts to learn to forgive. So be very careful with relationship. Young people, be very careful whom you marry, for example. Because if you marry wrongly, in that sense, if you marry wrongly, I have seen marriages with such wounds in their heart. I sometimes will tell them, I prefer that you don't get married. But I'm sorry, you're already married, you cannot divorce. So you stay on in your marriage. But the wounds of a marriage is so strong, so deep in some people that they can never, they're so wounded in their lives that they cannot serve God. It's so sad when I see that. So they are careless about who they marry. Be very careful about the kind of friends you have. What kind of friends do you have? Your friends will influence you. So think about the friends you have. Be very careful about that. For many of us, our friends influence us. You know what we should do as Christians? We influence our friends, not the other way around. So be very careful who your friends are. Be very careful with your words that you say. Some of us are so careless with our words. Sometimes after saying it, we wish we had not said that. It's gone. When words that is said, a careless word that is said, when it's gone, by the way. You cannot take it back. So be very careful with the words you say. You know, wounded hearts are the hardest to heal. If it's physical healing, I mean, these kind of things we can tolerate. All right, we can, sometimes the wounds get healed. Even if it's not healed, we can tolerate that. But wounds of the heart, if you're not careful, it stays you for the rest of your life. And once that happens, you're too wounded to serve God. And that is so sad. So be very careful with your heart. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, above all else, it means above all else, priority number one, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. So watch out for your heart. And the second thing to watch out for is your attitude. You know, from our heart, Christians are too wounded to serve. From our attitude, Christians are too complacent to serve. In other words, to many Christians, the Christian faith is just a self-centered, bless me religion. Everything is about me. Okay. In fact, the word sin, S-I-N, the word I, all right, is right in the middle. Sin. We are so self-centered, they are too complacent to serve. That we are unconcerned about what happens around the world. So the Lord says, be very careful about that. Be very careful about attitude. That we must step up, we must step out, and we must step into the lives of people. So watch out for that attitude, that Christianity doesn't become a serve me attitude. It's always to serve others. So that's the second thing you must need to watch out for in being careful. And the third thing is that you must be careful with your time. Otherwise, Christians are too preoccupied to serve. They're so distracted by the demands of life. So many things in life that you are so concerned about. Our house, our car, our children. Not that they are not important, but we are so concerned about so many of these things in every aspect of our life that we have not learned to integrate our faith into our life, into one. And that is why, you know, we need to be very careful with our time. You cannot say that you have no time. You cannot say that because God is so fair, right? Anyone has 25 hours a day? Anyone? No, right? If you have, I want to talk to you. All right? Because you obviously have a secret, I don't know. Sometimes we wish we have 25 hours a day. Really? But all of us have 24 hours a day. Everybody, no one is, you know, disadvantaged or at an advantage. Everyone has 24 hours, but yet, why is it that some Christians can be so fervent for God, when some Christians just cannot? It has to do with being careless with our time, with our priorities in our life. So these are things we need to be careful about: our heart, our attitude, and our time. Now, not only that, we need to be careful. These are the reasons why you need to be careful. The Bible reminds us of our enemy. I hope you all realize that you have an enemy. It's not the person sitting next to you, huh? You have an enemy with a big E. Enemy. Who is this enemy? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, and many other verses of the Bible as well. Your enemy, the devil, Satan, prowls around like a what? Roaring lion. Looking for someone to devour. So whether you like it or not, whether you like it or not, the Bible tells us that we are in a state of spiritual warfare every day of our lives. So be very careful about that. The devil's number one strategy is to draw you away from Jesus. That's all. If he can draw you away from Jesus, he has succeeded in his mission. So he will target your heart. He will target your attitude. And he will target your time. So the devil is at war with you, whether you like it or not. So be very careful. The devil will trip you. The devil will do all kinds of things. Now, by the way, we should never be fearful of the devil. Why? Because Jesus has won the battle. But the devil is still around until Jesus comes again. So we have to be very careful. We have already won. So that's why you need to be careful so that you don't allow footholds in your life. Every sin we committed is a foothold the devil can touch that part of your life. So be very careful. If you live life in such a way that you're being careful, the devil cannot touch you. That is why the Apostle Paul says, be very careful so that the devil has no foothold over your life. So everyone say, be very careful. Be careful. Turn to your neighbor one more time and say, be very careful. So if there's one thing you must remember this year, three things. The first thing is, be very careful. And some of you are already thinking right now. Because as I speak to you, you are already, things are coming to your mind. Yeah, thank you, Pastor, for reminding me. That's the part I'm not careful about. Relationship, I'm not careful. In my courtship relationship, I'm not careful. In our conduct, our sexual conduct, we are not careful. Because the devil will love to trip you in this area so that it becomes a foothold in your life. So be very careful. The second thing that you must remember of the three things, not only be very careful, the second thing is be wise. Everybody say, be wise. Because the Bible says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Who is a wise person? Anyone with gray hair is wise. A wise person, the Bible reminds us. In fact, Apostle Paul defined foolishness as the absence of God in one's life. Absence of God, foolishness. So what is wisdom? It's the presence of God in one's life. And so, be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. And later on, he said, know the will of God. So what does it mean to know the will of God? Now, this confused a lot of people. How do I know the will of God, Pastor? Constant question I get, all right? I'm sure pastors here, leaders here, you get that question all the time. How do I know the will of God? How do I know whether I can marry this person or not? How do I know that I will have this job? I should take this job. How do I know where I should go? How do I know whether I should migrate or not? How? You tear your hair out, you know, and then you go and talk to a pastor. You also tear the hair out of the pastor as well. All right. And so, that's why Christians, we must know the will of God. So what are the will of God? Let me give you three understandings, the three aspects of God's will. The first aspect is His sovereign will. Sovereign wills means that God is God. He already knows. He has no beginning. He has no end. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is God. He has no time, so He has a plan. And that plan is what I call the sovereign will. Nothing can change that. Nothing. And this is the comfort I have as a Christian, that I live in perfect security, that God has a sovereign will, that I need not fear what's happening in the world today, because God has a sovereign will, that even things may go wrong around us, God's will still stand. So the sovereign will of God is an amazing thing that we Christians have comfort in, that God is in control. So stop saying that Malaysia is going down the dumps. Okay? Stop saying that, you know, Malaysia has no hope. Do you know God has sovereign will over Malaysia? God has a plan for Malaysia. That's why as Christians, we need to recognize that God is still in control. And so in that sense, Jesus on the cross, dying on the cross, is a sovereign will of God. Nothing can change that. That's plan A. Plan A for Jesus, for God. There's no plan B. Plan A. That's the only plan. It's what we call, in the human term, do or die plan. Right. And so that's His sovereign will. Amazing. We live in security in the perfect will of God. His sovereign will. The second will is called His revealed will. Where can we know His revealed will? His revealed will is found here. Everything that God wants you to know is found here. You see, God cannot tell you His sovereign will because our human mind cannot take it. You see, His sovereign will is so amazing that we can never ever understand His sovereign will. So He compiled and are written by different people, all right? He inspired different people to write the Word of God so that this is the revealed will of God. So do you want to know God's will for your life? Here. See, I remember this person came up to me and said, Pastor, I cannot hear God. I cannot hear God. All right, I don't know. I don't know what He wants me to do. Okay, and I asked him, but it's one simple question. I have now, since then, you know, asked people all the same question when they say, I can't hear God. I would ask them, have you been reading the Word of God regularly during your quiet time? He said, no, I hardly, maybe once a week, you know, or sometimes only once a month, you know. I said, no wonder you cannot hear God. You said you want to hear God, but you not read His Word? What do you expect? That God suddenly appear before you and say, hello? And then tell you certain things? You see, God will not repeat Himself, you know. He already said something here. So often He will not repeat Himself. He's already told you. There are certain things, for example, we should never pray. For example, God, should I marry this non-Christian or not? No need to pray, man. No need to say, God, what do you think? Why? Because the Bible says so. Simple. God, I don't know, you know this black lie, white lie, this is a white lie, you know, so should I lie or not? No need. No need to pray. God, should I do this or not? Because it's so clear. You know why so many of us Christians are so MC square, mong cha cha? Right? How to say mong cha cha in English? Confused. Because we don't know the revealed will of God. And we are still praying for God to tell us what the revealed will is. And there are certain things that because we know what God is saying, we don't even need to pray in that sense and just go ahead and do it. Because it is the revealed will of God. In fact, in English, the Bible acronym B-I-B-L-E stands for basic instruction before leaving earth. These are the basic instructions. And once we leave earth, no need already a Bible. Because we're in the presence of God. And God will tell us directly. So His sovereign will, His revealed will. And the next one is called the individual will. Now this is the exciting part, church. That God has an individual will for you. What God has for me is different from what God has for you. Thank God for that, you know. You don't have to say that, oh, I want to do what He does. No, don't even try to do what I do. Do what God wants you to do, and for every person is different. And from the sovereign will to the revealed will, now there's an individual will that God is going to, you know, have a plan for our lives. And this is so amazing. To realize that as Christians, God has a plan. Do you believe that God has a plan for you for 2018? You say amen, but do you know or not? Do you know? All right? So that's the challenge. That we need to know the revealed will of God. And the individual will of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Now, this is an amazing, amazing passage. Note the word advance. God has planned in advance what you're going to do. In other words, this is the 7th of January here. When you come to 1st July, 6 months down the road, 1st July here, okay? Do you know while at 7th of January, God has already planned for you in advance what you ought to be doing? This is an amazing thought. There's sometimes we try to figure out for ourselves with our human mind to say, this is what I want to do. Well, it may be a good plan. It may be a good plan. Not to say that's a bad plan. It's a good plan. But tell you what, that's the best plan. God's plan is the best plan. The good, they say, is the enemy of the best. Because we fail to go to ask God, we don't know the will of God. How do you know the individual will of God? Again, the same secret is not really a secret. It's to make time for God every day. And when you make time for God every day in your quiet time, in your prayer, you begin to understand the voice of God. There's no shortcut. You know, in the English church, I was challenging them last year. And I said, for most of us, when we wake up in the morning, now this is a challenge to all the other congregation. When you wake up in the morning, you know, what do you do first thing? What do you do first thing, most of you? For many of you, I suspect this is what you do. Right? When you wake up first thing, you grab your handphone and you say, "Hello, iPhone." All right, no, "Hi Siri," okay? Or, "Hello Nokia," "Hello Oppo," all right? And I taught the English church to say, English church members, the first thing you need to do when you wake up in the morning is not to say hello to your smartphone. The first thing you need to do when you wake up is to say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit." Because when you learn how to live a life in such a way that you're led by the Holy Spirit every day, it will transform the way you live your lives. In fact, for some of us here, I discovered that not only they have learned to say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit," in the morning, they have also now learned to say, "Good night, Holy Spirit," before they sleep. And that is the life of being filled with the Holy Spirit every day of our lives. And as you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that's how you hear the voice of God. That's how when you finally arrive in 1st July 2018, you will be right in the center of God's will for your life, individual will. And that is why my challenge to you this morning is this. You need to know God's revealed will You need to know God's individual will for your life. And how do you know that? Be wise. You know that by making time for God every day. There's no shortcut to hearing the voice of God, except to be like knowing a friend. The more you make time for a friend, the more you know the heart of that friend. And there's no secret to this. It's just simply making time for God. And so if we know how to know the individual will of God for our life, that this gets really exciting. The three things I want you to remember: be very careful, be wise. Once you can do these two things here, the third thing becomes exciting. Be mindful of every opportunity. Be mindful. In fact, in verse 16, it says, making the most of every opportunity. Meaning that God is going to open up opportunities in 2018 for you. It will be amazing when you come to certain opportunities, you say, wow, this is amazing. How did I even come to this opportunity? And some of you in ministries, you're going to discover this amazing opportunity, not because you're so clever to figure it out, because God has already planned it for you. And so this is something that I believe that I want to help our church this year. Not just for this year, for the rest of your life. To learn how to make the most of every opportunity because we are flowing with the Spirit of God. And when we begin to do that, it will be such an amazing life. And what do you do in this opportunity? Very simple. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So how do we grab every opportunity? It's always the opportunity to do good deeds for people. Why? So that people, once they are recipient of the good deeds, they look up to heaven. They see Jesus. They see God the Father. And this is why we do good deeds for all of us. And so we are to sow into every opportunity that we have. In fact, in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. And all of us, you know, have opportunity every day of our lives. Tomorrow, when they come to a working day, you go to work, that's an opportunity. Your neighbors are opportunity. The people that you meet as you walk along to wherever that you go are opportunities. And you just be available for this opportunity that comes to you, and you'll be amazing that even in the last 1 year, God has given many opportunities to me. All I prayed was, good morning, Holy Spirit, lead me to someone today, Lord. And it's amazing when you make that kind of prayer. So you must be very careful, be wise, and be very mindful at every opportunity with the Spirit of God. That's what it says in that passage in Ephesians 5, that you must be filled with the Spirit of God. So let me end by giving you a few examples of how we can, you know, make the use of every opportunity given to us. I mentioned earlier that AGW, our anniversary give weekend, is one example, you know, of that. We are asking God for $5.5 million, and that's an opportunity. An opportunity to bless. That's an amazing opportunity. So we go in faith. Let's ask the Holy Spirit, how much do you want me to give? My wife and I need to pray through this as well. Lord, extend our faith in this area. Opportunity to pray. And I know many of the church, of the congregation, you are praying congregation. For the English congregation, can I challenge you in the next 14 days, starting tomorrow morning, 5:30 to 7 a.m., come join us for 14 days. Center on God as you start the year. For 14 days, you're going to meet in Hall 1. Let's pray. Let's come together and let's pray and commit this year to God. It will be an amazing, amazing year. What other opportunities are there? There are opportunities, for example, of the gospel in Malaysia. 90% of Malaysians do not know Jesus. These are opportunities. That is why God put you here in Malaysia. That you are a Malaysian for a reason. God needs you in that sense. God, you know, God wants you. Not God doesn't need us in that sense, but God wants you to be a part of His plan for Malaysia. The 90% of Malaysians do not know Jesus, and we are in touch with Malaysians every day. And the other opportunities that we have are amongst, you know, our congregations here of different, you know, vernacular groups. You know, fulfilling the Great Commission among the diaspora people. Now, diaspora is a big word for some of us. Diaspora simply means the scattered people. And scattered people are all around the globe. There are millions and millions of scattered people because we're now living in a global world. People are traveling everywhere. And some travel not because they want to, some travel because they have to. And so God has brought the diaspora to Malaysia. Malaysia have a great, we have a privilege, I call it a privilege, to be reaching out to the mission field locally. And that is why we call it local mission. You know, God has brought, you know, people, foreign workers into our nation. You know, we have something like, you know, 2 million documented foreigners here in Malaysia. 2 million. That's a lot of people. And then on top of that, there's somewhere between 2 to 4 million undocumented foreigners. That is why there's such a wide estimates here, because nobody really knows. 2 to 4 million foreigners. And right here in our midst, right here, we have the privilege of ministering to the Nepali people. We had the privilege of ministering to the Myanmar people. And amazing, last night at the Myanmar church here, it was such an electrifying worship, a celebration. All right, didn't have trouble even sleeping when I got back. You know, the Myanmar church is an amazing, amazing church. And for many years now, they grew from a handful of people, from about, I think, maybe 10 of people, about 6-7 years ago. And they've grown now to 1,000 over people. And every year, they have what they call the School of Discipleship. And the School of Discipleship, you know, and they've done this for quite a few years now. Every round, about 90 of them come, they leave their job, they quit their job. These are all foreign Myanmar workers. They quit their job, and they join this school called the School of Discipleship for 13 weeks. And they're most of them are young people in their 20s. So they leave their job, quit their job, join for 13 weeks, go through the School of Discipleship, and be trained in there. For the time they got in, by the time they get out of that School of Discipleship, they are all transformed. I know they are transformed because I also are one of the lecturers and teachers in this school here. It's amazing to see that everyone that comes out of the School of Discipleship, a few hundred have gone through that. 13 weeks, I wonder, even for us Malaysians, how many of our young people will give up 13 weeks of our lives just to be trained in the gospel? And then having finished the School of Discipleship over the last many years now, they say, Pastor, we want to take up another level. So they just started and ended the School of Leadership. So those who have graduated from the School of Discipleship, now they can apply, like I say, it doesn't guarantee that you get it. You can apply and get interviewed by the pastor, and she will determine whether you get into this school, and then they quit their job again for another 13 weeks. And get on this School of Leadership. And this time round, they started with 43 people. And at the end, last Tuesday was their graduation. And so they came to me and said, Pastor, these are the people, all right, that had gone on School of Leadership, and these are the people who are seriously thinking about, you know, a full-time ministry, about being pastors, being missionaries. And so my challenge to the Myanmar church is this. I say, don't go to any other country, because many of them are waiting to go to other countries. I challenge them, go home to Myanmar. You can imagine this church here, when they go back to Myanmar, it transformed Myanmar. It's just amazing to just think about the possibility of local mission here. They have a direct effect on Myanmar one day. In fact, it's already happening now. Our Myanmar people has gone back and started 10 cell groups in Yangon. And church planting is one of those things that's very much in our hearts, and we are doing it right here in DUMC. And so they say, Pastor, we're going to graduate this group of 43 people who are people who are ready to be pastors and missionaries. 43, can you imagine that? And they're going to run this every year. And so they say, we're going to graduate. They're going to, because this is such an important occasion, they're going to dress in gowns, graduation gowns. So, Pastor, can you wear a graduation gown? Huh? I don't have. Never mind, we'll rent it for you. All right. And so that's the part we have to play, lah. All right, to just be with them. And so, you know, this is how they graduated, 43 of them in Hall 1. All right, 43 of them, they graduated. And I look in their faces and say, this will be the future pastors and the missionaries, that we as DUMC, we have a part to play in this. It's an amazing, amazing thought that one day this group of people here, with hundreds of them, will go back to Myanmar and they will change the face of Myanmar. Yep. Amen. And I was told by Pastor Zor. Pastor Zor comes here. He's a Myanmar pastor who comes here regularly to teach. He said, Pastor, thank you for DUMC. I come here regularly because I want to be inspired by DUMC. And he said, outside of Yangon, outside of Myanmar, DUMC has the largest Myanmar church in the world. And he said, the largest Myanmar church, all right, according to him, the largest Myanmar church in Myanmar has 5,000 people. So it's about your size, Pastor, 5,000. And I challenged the Myanmar church yesterday. And they said, at the rate you are growing, you're going to be larger than the 5,000, you know? All right? In fact, if you go beyond 5,000, you'll be the largest Myanmar church in the world. All right? And church, DUMC has a part to play in this. And I get excited of the opportunities ahead of us. Not only for Myanmar, for Nepali. Amongst us, we have just started the Filipino Fellowship. And then we have the Iranians here. And then opportunities among the Tamil-speaking people, the Chinese. I've challenged Chinese church here for a long time now. Yours should grow larger than English. Yep. You have no reason why you cannot, because your market is bigger than mine. Than the English church. You have so many more Chinese-speaking people than English-speaking. So one day, this is my prophecy, one day, the Chinese church will be more than 5,000. And this is not to put pressure on Pastor Ling here, because God's work, church growth is a work of God. It is not our work. But what's our work? Stay faithful. Stay faithful. We should never be under pressure to grow the church, because it is God's work, not my work. My role is to stay faithful. And so because they graduated, I have to put on a gown. So I put on a gown, I give out the certificate. All right. And so in that sense, it's amazing of the kind of opportunities. And one more opportunity that I want to share with us is this, that in Malaysia right now, Malaysia desire to be a global education destination by 2025. Right now, Malaysia, all right, is receiving 5.9 billion ringgit every year in our economy, added to our economy, right, of foreign education. 5.9 billion. And it's expected to rise to 15.6 billion by 2020. That's three times more. In other words, right now we have something like 132,000 foreign students in this nation. By 2020, that means three times that. It probably grew up to 500,000 foreign students in this nation coming from countries that you probably would never have a chance to share the gospel. And God is right now bringing this right to our doorstep. Question? What are we going to do about it? Don't say, Pastor, what are you going to do about it? We all need to ask this question. What am I going to do about it? For some of us, it means that we may need to host foreign students. And many of them are pre-believers. They may never hear the gospel in their home country. But over here, they may hear the gospel for the very first time. And many of us here have been the recipient of that when we were studying overseas. Some of us have come to know Jesus overseas. And we come back here today, we are pastors and leaders of churches in Malaysia. And church, this is an untapped opportunity for DUMC as far as I'm concerned. We have an international student ministry, but it's so small. It's only about 30 to 40 people. But we have 132,000 foreign students right here in our nation. It's really amazing. And then there's opportunity for community services. And so, can we do it? Can we do it? Actually, cannot. Only the Holy Spirit can help us do it. It is scary. The number scares me. You know what I mean? 90% of Malaysians do not know Jesus. That scares me. And most of them are majority faith, but yet God is doing amazing work in their life. And we have, you know, anywhere between 2 to 6 million foreigners in this country. That scares me, because that's the church responsibility of reaching out to them. And we have 100,000 foreign students in this nation. It scares me. What is the response of the church? And we had to come before God honestly and say, God, down 2018 and beyond, what are these opportunities you have created for us? We can't do everything. But by the individual will of God for DUMC, God is asking us to do something. So we need to discover that together. And that excites me. So we need to step out, to step in. In fact, let me close by some statistics here. Last, you know, Christmas, all the different congregations had Christmas outreach, right? How many of you were involved in Christmas outreach? Many of you, right? Cell groups and all that, you've been involved in that. And so, you know, I told the pastors, give me some statistics to encourage the church, right? So here are some of the statistics, you know, in the homecoming Christmas party, and these are all the things that are happening in the homes, right? And also in some places, you know, where people gather together. And so the English had 91 cell groups, not every cell group, but 91 cell groups that were involved in reaching out, and in the vernacular for the Chinese, BM, Tamil, Nepali, and Filipino, all right? And then, of course, the Myanmar, their mini crusades, carols, and events. All right, so this is DUMC here. Right? And here I'm talking only about, you know, outreach in the cells and in small groups. All right, so we're not talking about the Christmas, which, for example, the Chinese church, you all did a Christmas thing, that's not counted. All right, but I'm talking about individual efforts out there, all right, by cell groups and all that. And so here, you know, for the English church, we have, these are guests, the number of people we are reaching, friends we are reaching out to. Right, so we have 1,883. So English church, we have 1,883 people we are reaching out to. That's amazing, okay? Just for Christmas. And then for the vernacular, 262, right? And then for the Myanmar, for the Myanmar church, right? Small number only, right? Only 17,723, yeah. Small number only, like, you know? Boy, that figure sort of inspired me, you know? They are going out there, all right? 17,000 people they reached out to in this month of December. And I told the Myanmar church yesterday night, that's the spirit I want to catch as a senior pastor from you. They have such an evangelistic zeal. They're going out there and reaching people for Jesus. And I pray, I told Myanmar church, you are such an inspiration to us, to the whole entire DUMC. And our blessings to them have flown back to us. You notice that? They started with a handful of people. And as we invest into their life, and 6-7 years down the road, that blessings flow right back to us. And we are on the journey now, all right? And I pray by God's grace, never by our own strength, to grow the largest church, the largest Myanmar church in the world. All right. And so, were there people come to know the Lord Jesus? All right? For the English side, 68 came to know the Lord. Okay. And from the, yeah, let's give the Lord a clap. Just for the Christmas period, right? And then for the vernacular, 27. I understand not all reports are in. I think it's higher than that. Let's give thanks to the Lord for that. And then for the Myanmar church, small number again, lah. You know, 17,000 they reach out to, all right? So they reach 6,371. And so their job now is to follow up, right? And do you know I have perfect confidence in them following up? Because hundreds of them have gone through the school of discipleship. And these are the people that have gone out to reach out to 17,000 people. And by the way, that's not the end of the figures coming in yet, you know. Figures are still coming in, right? And so 6,371 spread throughout JB, Malacca, Seremban, and Penang. Before we know it, we're going to have Myanmar churches around the major towns of Malaysia. And that, to me, are opportunities. And that is why that will give us an impetus, opportunities now, even to think about church planting and multi-sites in this nation. Because God is using the Myanmar church to pave the way for us. Isn't that an amazing thought? All right. And so I want to close by challenging us right now to step up, step out, and step in to the opportunities that God is going to give to us. And I pray that our hearts are open to that. I'm not saying you know what these opportunities are yet, but all I want you to do is ask God, whether individually, whether as a cell group, whether as a sub-zone or a zone, what is God saying, or as a congregation, what is God saying to you? So let's bow our heads and let's ask God. Let's ask the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit saying to me? What is he saying to me? Invite the Holy Spirit now to come and speak to you. And those on live stream and those in Hall 1 as well, you bow your heads too and ask the Holy Spirit, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? For some of us, the Holy Spirit may be saying to us that you have not been very careful with your life. In fact, you may be very careless with your life in different areas. So maybe the Holy Spirit is saying to you, will you be very careful? And we may need to come to repentance before God right now and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. I need to be more careful in my life. So just ask God for forgiveness right now. Don't live in the past. Live for the future. And some of us, we may not be wise because we have not gone to the Word of God. We have not asked God, we have not said good morning, Holy Spirit, every day. And let's repent before God as well. And say, Holy Spirit, help me to be wise in you. And for some of us, I want to challenge, I believe this is the main challenge, that you will open up your heart to God and say that you will learn, you'll be open to the Holy Spirit leading you into opportunities that you can step into. And this will be an amazing opportunity. And so for those of us here, this I sense is my challenge. That if you want to just avail yourself and to say, God, 2018, I want to surrender this to you. I want to offer my life to you. I may not know what I want to do yet, but I'm willing to ask you, Holy Spirit, to lead and guide me every step of the way throughout this year. And I want to give an opportunity to be able to do that, because some of us, we know that we want to be open. So I want you to stand with me if you desire to do so. You stand with me, and I'm going to pray a prayer over you to ask God to open up your heart that you may be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So as the Lord leads you right now, you stand with me if you're willing to say, God, use me. Use me in a powerful way. Use me, God, into opportunities that will allow the power of the Holy Spirit to be demonstrated. You stand with me right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just you and God, you don't have to stand because everyone is standing. You just ask God, do you want to do that? And if you want to do that, then you stand. And that is a sign as a prayer, a posture of humility to God. And say, God, use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're not sure it's okay, then you need to just seek the Lord and ask God to do that. Even those in Hall 1, even those at home watching this on live stream, you too can stand up where you are, because God sees you, sees your posture of humility right now. And let's raise our hands to the Lord right now. I'm going to pray to ask God to use us in a powerful way. Lord, you said in your word, be very careful. And you said in your word, be wise. And you said in your word, God, be mindful of every opportunity available to us. And so we stand before you, God. We bring our life before you, asking that, Lord, will you touch our hearts even today? And will you put your right hand to your heart right now? Could you put your right hand to your heart? And Lord, even as our hands are on our heart, God, we pray that, Lord, this verse that says above all else, guard our hearts, for everything I do flows from it. And so will you guard this heart so that this heart will remain pure in you, that we are not callous with our hearts, that this year, God, we will repent of the things that we have been callous about, whether in relationship, whether in our workplace, because these are footholds the devil can take hold of, and we repent of that even this morning. And so we want to release, God, upon you all these footholds of our lives. We repent before you, and right now, Lord, we receive the Holy Spirit into our lives to empower us, to fill us, and open up our eyes and our ears so that we will do what we see you do, and we will do what you hear you telling us to do. And so bless, Lord, the offering of this life, that we may, God, at the end on 31st of December 2018, we will be amazed at the opportunities given to us, Lord. And for this, Lord, we give you thanks for the privilege of serving you. And so now, we want to receive every good gift that comes from you. We want, Lord, to ask in a special way that you will, God, seal every good gift that comes into our heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Heavenly Father and the fellowship of His Spirit be with us both now and forevermore. And all God's children say, amen, amen, amen. Now, if you need prayer, if you need prayer, I know there are different language groups here, but if you need prayer, just come to the front, whether for healing, for whatever needs that you have. You know, there will be people there who can pray for you. Otherwise, have a great weekend, and may God bless you, and see you in tomorrow's meeting for the English Church.